Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. So here we are. School is just around the corner for our kids and grandkids. September and fall coming into being has always felt like the start of a brand new year. I actually feel like September is a new year, and January just comes and goes, and that's just when we decide to change our eating habits and our exercise habits for a couple of weeks. But even though that is the start of the actual new year, September has always felt like the real start of the new year, and here we are. September is right here. School is starting. So today I thought it would be a great idea to review a book. The book I'm reviewing today is called The Wealthy Barber Returns. Now, David Shilton has authored quite a number of books, a couple of them financial, and actually a couple of food books, one on low-fat recipes and dieting, and the other one to do something to do with food. So a very diversified and interesting author. But David Shilton, he is a Canadian. He worked in the financial planning industry for a number of years as a stockbroker and then, I believe, as an advisor and an analyst. So The Wealthy Barber was his first book. He was 25 years old when he wrote that. So to me, that seems pretty young to be taking advice from a 25-year-old. But that book did extremely well. It's actually the biggest selling book in Canadian history by a first author. So generally, it was a story. He wrote it as a novel where it was a barber who was giving investment and financial management advice to his haircutting clients. So it was very approachable type of read where really anyone could pick up the book and learn some financial tips and some financial lessons. Even though he was only 25 years old, he took the vast amount of financial data that was available at that time and made it very consumable by everyday Canadians who don't necessarily work in the investment or the financial sector. So again, this was a story. It's a novel. It was widely popular, and it's been on the best-selling list. Back in 89, it was published, but it was on the best-selling list for quite a number of years in the 1990s. David Shilton went on to write a second book, The Wealthy Barber Returns, and that is the book that we're going to be talking about today. David Shilton is also probably a popular or familiar name because he'd been very well known through his rather humorous spot on the Dragon's Den for a number of seasons. So let's talk about The Wealthy Barber Returns. It was published in 2011. It's not a novel this time. It is practical financial advice. So I looked at some details about why David decided to write another book. And even though The Wealthy Barber was very popular, and the premise behind The Wealthy Barber was to become wealthy slowly, and of course it went through all the information regarding mutual funds and stocks, bonds, T-bills, the people who read the book were really getting the idea that they needed to invest money. They missed, however, and when I say they, the majority of individuals missed the point that we need to have our spending and our cash flow under control in order for wealth to actually be built. So yes, it's great that we can have investments, but if we've borrowed money to put those investments in place, we really haven't done ourselves a favor, especially if our cash flow hasn't been affected by those investment decisions. So he decided to write a second book, just with practical advice, really focusing on a few main points. Some of these points are fairly controversial. So I've done a summary of the main points, and I just want to talk through each one of them. This is a thoroughly enjoyable read. I do recommend that you pick this book up and take a look through. There's probably some things that, you know, you kind of have innately inside of you. You know, this is something I know I should be doing. This is something my grandmother told me to do or my mother suggested it would be a good idea. But here it's written in sort of a point-by-point form. So let's just review the book here. So the first major theme is to know your opponents. I didn't realize we were in some type of battle here, but David points out that no one wants you to save money. Your friends, they want you to go out to movies and go out for dinner and kind of stay in the loop with the fashion. So family, we're always having demands put us on by our family members. So back to school is right here. And I'm sure that a lot of parents are feeling the pressure of their kids needing the newest and the latest and the greatest technology and clothing and designer clothing. That is a very large struggle for a lot of families. So families, they don't want us to save. Businesses, they want us to spend, spend, spend. That's how their businesses stay in business, is when we spend money. So they're really not interested in helping us save. The government, they don't want us to save. They need us to spend so that our Canadian economy continues to grow. Bankers, they want us to spend so they'll be able to lend us more money to spend. Everyone wants us to spend. No one wants us to save. So the theme is, it's a bit of a you against the world type of methodology. And that really brings some perspective to, we're really not going to get a lot of help saving money. We will, however, get many volunteers to help us spend our money, not a lot for savings. The second theme of this book is to live within your means. Living within your means is a statement or a phrase that I don't even know how many times I've heard. But I also don't know many people who actually live by that principle. So he poses a question. If you lived in a world where everyone was blind except you, how would your spending decisions be different? Would you actually spend money on that new fancy vehicle when no one else could see it but you? Would you spend money on high-end furniture when no one else could see it but you? Would we spend money on designer clothing when no one else could see it but you and me as individuals? Looking at that analogy, having the look would no longer be important when no one else could see it. If we really lived in a world where everyone else was blind except one person, me. So the idea here and the point is to stop caring about what other people think. And just to walk through that little analogy emotionally, it made me think about some of the purchases I actually just made this week. Would I have done that if I actually didn't care what people thought? The next theme is to think long and hard before we make major purchases. That statement is not rocket science. This isn't anything new. But his point is that novelty wears off quickly, usually when the first payment becomes due. So his advice is to take time and think a year ahead. Will I feel the same way about this purchase in a year as I do now? Chances are we will be able to project that the novelty of having something new would have worn off. And actually, I've met quite a number of people who get bored with the items that are new to them right now. And in that year's time, a lot of the things that they purchased that they were quite enthusiastic about purchasing, they have traded in, or they've traded up, or they have some other focus that they're pursuing. The next theme is kind of a reality check. It's don't compare your situation with other people's lives. Life is not fair. Our financial situations are not identical to other people's. And instead of learning spending habits from wealthy and affluent individuals, try learning their earning habits. And I thought, what an interesting twist, because we're, you know, that TV show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians or whatever it was called. I just confirmed my ignorance on television shows, whatever it's called, something Kardashians. The young people were following that quite extensively. They were living in a lifestyle that I don't know if I've met many people who could attain. Now, I have met people who have a lot of wealth, but they would never spend their money on the things that the Kardashian program displayed, because that's not their world. Their world is very simple, the people that I've worked with who have a lot of money. So when we follow the work ethic of individuals who have a lot of wealth, we're not necessarily going to follow their spending habits, particularly of the affluent people of our world and our culture. The fifth focus is savings. Now, he breaks it down that savings really is for preparation for the fluctuations of life. Now, I think back a few years and the fluctuations that my family has gone through in the last couple of years. I think, my goodness, when did we think life was going to be predictable? Life is never predictable. The only thing that's predictable is that it's unpredictable. Savings is that buffer between struggling and being able to navigate through challenges and fluctuations with grace and with ease and with confidence, and being able to learn from life's unpredictability as opposed to being really beaten up by life's unpredictability. Of course, he recommends 6 months of expenses in a savings account. That is a very lofty goal for many people. My first piece of financial advice for individuals that I work with is just to get $1,000 in savings. Just to get $1,000. That puts a buffer between you and the dishwasher breaking. It puts a buffer between you and the dryer breaking down, as opposed to having to pull that credit card out for every emergency. $1,000 is the buffer that most families that I meet with, I just recommend that that's a starting place. 6 months of expenses. Wow, that's a lot of money to have put away in a savings account. A very good goal. And I think if we have a goal and we start moving towards that goal, I would be hopeful that we would be on our way to having a good amount of money in savings in order for preparation for the fluctuations of life. One of the things that is not a theme in this book is the talking about increasing income. The focus really is on living modestly and living predictably in the midst of life's unpredictability. I appreciated this book. I appreciate the message that is being broadcast through this book. I highly recommend this book, focusing on savings, focusing on living within our means and living modestly.